welcome to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs Podcast. If you are ready to tap into your God-given strengths, discover simple success strategies, and set that dream that's buried in your soul free, this podcast is for you. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Miter, a visionary strategist, a highly driven entrepreneur, and a lover of adventures. I'm here to help you navigate the sea of business and life and show you the true freedom of being an uncharted entrepreneur. If you are ready to tap into bold courage and live the life you're called to create, join me on this journey. Let's untie those dock lines and set sail. We are going into uncharted territory. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm your host, Sherry Miter, and I am so excited about today's guest, and it couldn't be come at a better time. My new friend, Dana Irvine, and I had a wonderful conversation about all things women, menopause, hormones, and most importantly, gathering around the family table and how to really enjoy time with family and friends and take the stress out of it and go back to enjoying good food, good conversation, good wine. We also talked a little bit about transitions and how things that happen in our life cause us to make some changes, whether it's for our health or for a career. So I think you're going to really enjoy this conversation. You might need to have a Kleenex nearby. There may have been a few tears and a lot of great deep conversation. So heat up that cup of coffee, grab that glass of wine, if it's after 5, after 12, I don't care, and get ready to enjoy this big conversation. But before we dive in, let me tell you a little bit about Dana. So Dana is a mom of three, yay for moms of three, and she's been married for 24 years. She has been a professional hospitality and event planner for several years, but felt the need to create and coach healthier lifestyles for women. As a self-professed master in the kitchen, she felt the need to teach families to get back to the table. The true awakening of Dana's journey happened 5 years ago when her sister was diagnosed with brain cancer. Life spun out of control. Why? How? What were the signs? All the pain and uncertainty brought her to her mission, coaching women about preventative care, recognizing health challenges, and living life to the fullest potential. Dana's insightfulness and compassion for women shines through her life as a coach, friend, mother, and wife, through her passion to live her life with purpose, and through speaking on topics such as sex, menopause, marriage, family, and women's health. Her desire to spread her message to as many women as possible prompted her to create the Wise Divine Woman podcast. You'll have to check that out, friends. Dana coaches women all over Canada and the USA on issues that keep them stuck from reaching their fullest health potential. She runs the Wise Divine Women Hormone Masterclass to help women go from fed up to faith-fueled and become Wise Divine Women legacy makers and cheerleaders for their health and their family's health. She loves to talk about topics such as thermography, what is it anyways, touch your tatas, on breath health, dry brushing, essential oils, all the good stuff, food and nutrition, becoming a legacy maker and a cheerleader for your family's health. And I love this one, what your mama never told you. So make sure you check out her podcast and also the free offer. Dana is gifting you a 5-day hormone detox. So check the link out in the show notes. You're going to really enjoy that. All right, get ready, ladies. This show's all for you as we launch into what can be a busy holiday season. Just some great reminders on life and bringing your family to the table. Enjoy. Welcome, Dana, to the show. I am so excited to have you here today. And I know you're in Canada, but the United States is about to celebrate Thanksgiving, which could always cause stressors anyway. And this year, more than ever, it's going to be a very unique Thanksgiving. So I know towards the end of the show, you have some great tips to give us as we get ready to sit around the table, not just for the holidays, but just every week, every day. But before we get into that piece of it, which is the juiciest, so you guys got to hold on to this entire show because you're going to want to hear what Dana shares at the end. If you want to share a little bit about who you are and all the unique really awesome, cool things that you do, Dana.
Thank you so much, Sherry, for inviting me. And thank you. This has just been such a blessing. I'm Dana. I live in Canada, and I have been just blessed on my journey and of family. So, well, I guess 5 years ago now, my sister was diagnosed with brain cancer. And during that time, I was working at a naturopathic clinic. Like when we moved to Sudbury here, I'm hospitality and restaurant person. I am the gift of hospitality. That's me. And I just was tired of it. And my cousin owns a naturopathic clinic. So he just wanted the nice girl to answer the phone, to get people coffee, to know who they are and recognize their names, which is, you know, really in hindsight is so important when you're healing, right? On a journey of health. So in that, my sister became sick and I wasn't able to go. I was the only person at this clinic. And in this clinic, I was so blessed with learning so many valuable things of oncology care from naturopathic IVs, supplements, nutrition, different types of alternative therapies and stuff. So in my practice moving forward now, I've encompassed a bunch of that, but the knowledge of it and trying to be the concierge of health for many people is so important. But so my sister, I wasn't able to get away, but I was throwing tools at her, connecting her with naturopath, connecting with all of these amazing tools and vitamin C therapies and stuff. And she surpassed far longer in her life than expected, that's for sure. It was in remission or not growing, I guess remission. But then 2 years ago, it flared back up again and she passed in 2018. So in all of that, my quest for understanding disease, understanding prevention, utilizing these tools that are out there for women and for men in disease process, or even just recognizing, okay, what stress are you holding? How is it preventing you to better health? And how can I monetize, or how can I, one, feel that I'm serving to people, and two, of course, making money, like let's not kid ourselves, but, or my husband would want me to make money, as all of our husbands would. But that is just, you know, in a nutshell, how that all sort of happened with Deanna, and then how I became a clinical thermographer in that same aspect of understanding health from a visual perspective. Clinical thermography, if you're not familiar with thermography, is an infrared study of the body, and it's done through a infrared camera, and it looks at the body temperature and patterns looking for inflammation or degradation, so red or blue. Incredible. I guess it really depends on who's interpreting, but it's a good tool to incorporate as an integrative report, so who you can talk to your chiropractor about, who you can talk to your massage therapist and your naturopath and or understand your stress. So then counseling or kickboxing, whatever's going to alleviate that. But so that's the journey I'm on right now. But incorporating that whole health aspect for myself and my network of women or my sisters in Christ and such. So I wanted to be able to start walking forward in health, right? And I don't know about you, but how many women attend these fantastic conferences, right? Mm-hmm. For church and these fantastic conferences, and we don't ever talk about health at all, ever.
Right.
So I'm just like, gosh, we've got to do that. Like, how can I bring all of this together? Right. And in the meantime, I've got teenage children and they don't want to sit at the table, and table time is stressful. So, in a nutshell, this is how I've become the wise divine woman. And it's just about becoming wise in our age. And understanding tradition, understanding philosophies, understanding table time and stress management and health practices to then enhance our not only our own health, but our family and our community, really, right? And I love talking to this in this aspect of understanding health to women who are CEOs or who are business builders or who are even just busy moms, because we don't have time. We're always the last. Mm-hmm. We're always the last. And so many times I've spoken to women my age or older in this practice. You know, my kids are gone and I'm a wreck. My health is really poor. And it's going back to that thought process of oxygen mask first.
Right. There's a reason they tell us that, right?
There's a reason we need to do that. And we don't think of it because we're so busy taking care of our husbands, taking care of our children, taking care of now our aging parents. And that's okay. That's a blessing. That's a huge blessing to be blessed with family and husbands. And there's got to be a silver lining, right? And our aging parents. But you've got to remember the oxygen mask first. And that's sort of the walk that I'm on right now in this journey. So one, you know, recognizing and helping women prevent cancer and death, like no ifs, ands, buts about that. I need to do that. And then understanding and sort of bringing forth integrative or alternative therapies, which may or may not be something you want, but you don't ever know who to ask. Right. So I talk about the crazy stuff, right? And they're like, oh, I've never heard of that. I've never heard of this. And then I also really encourage women to grab the bull by the horn and take care of their health. So I talk a lot about self-care a lot. And yeah.
Well, I think self-care is so important because we have to be our own advocate too. And
yes, we do.
Traditional, I know you and I have talked about this, traditional medicines are not always the best way to go.
It's not. Well, it is. So, I mean, so many people right now in this day and age are so upset and angry at their primary care. And you guys have, I mean, even though our healthcare systems are different, but they're not. You go and they are really only allowed to do what they're allowed to do, and they have to stay within their box. Right. And so I talk about this with women all the time. Your primary medical doctor is fantastic and phenomenal and gifted, but he may only step in his box and he may not go out of bounds or he gets himself slapped. Like, that's the truth.
Right.
So why do you expect any more from that? So you utilize him, encourage him, and coax him into understanding your health needs and who then he can refer you to. So that's when you have your specialists, which is great. But again, same problem. They are within their box. So then it's understanding out in the alternative or holistic, right? It's a whole philosophy when you're looking at health. And I think that's how we have to view things now in this day and age, right? Who can we utilize? Who's local? And who's already part of your network? Like, I find that so fascinating. I'm like, I would love to know what everyone does at my church. Like, or I would love to know what everyone does in my area, but we never know who to ask or how to ask or who even to bother. So, I mean, I love talking or getting women to look at viewing healthcare from an integrative approach. So you've got your medical doctor, you have your specialist, because darn, if there is something wrong, you want them, you want the tests, you want to know right away, right? There's no ifs, ands, or buts. But if it's emotional, right, then you have your counselor. Don't be afraid to then seek that out, what's covered under your insurance or not. But stress management in this day and age, especially during COVID, is of vital importance. And you need to be reaching out to those people during this time and incorporating a stress management program, not just for you, but for your family. So in holistic aspect, that may be in other, you know, yes, your counselors, yes, your therapist, yes, your psychologist, but it may be Reiki, or it may be body talk, or it may be energies medicine or massage therapy or breathing techniques, which are all really great depending on, you know, where you walk. But these are really important tools to understand as part of your health care. Chiropractic is really important as well. Osteopathy, which in Canada is a manual therapy, which in some parts of the States is not a manual therapy, but it works like a physiotherapist or a physical therapist. All of these people are super important, and don't be afraid to step out of that normal and seek what you need, right? Mm-hmm. So I love incorporating who you can use and who you can create as part of that aspect.
So. Right. Well, it's really just about being that whole person, that whole woman, inside right. and outside, and then we can give better to those around us and be better and show up better. It's
so important. So if honestly, if laundry is your issue, then hire someone to do your laundry.
Right.
If that's your nemesis, if that's your vice, or if cooking is not your thing, then order the fresh box. No one's going to judge you. They'll be jealous, but no one's right. going to judge you. So it's just recognizing, or if you can't do it, ask your kids. Oh. Ask your husband. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing with women too, is that we are so afraid to ask.
Yes. So.
Not only in business, but I mean, seriously, if you can't do it, don't assume they read your mind. Like, you have to ask.
No, I just did an episode on that recently. And just, we do, they don't know. And more times than not, they're more than willing. Well, maybe not teenagers, but they'll do it. And I shared in the episode too, is big thing is as moms and wives, we can't judge how they do it. If they're doing it, let them do it.
That's huge.
And that was, yeah, that was a lesson I had to learn the hard way, but I got it early on, thank goodness. And every once in a while, I still slip, and then I just know I got it. I'm so sorry, honey, I shouldn't have said that. I did appreciate you did that for me. Like, I go back and always apologize because I recognize it. Like,
Some women may not recognize that in themselves, that their husbands will not go in the kitchen or put away the dishes or do anything or do the laundry because you barked at them once saying, that's not right, I'll have to refold it all. Or you just went ahead and just refolded everything. So what are they going to say? Screw you, I'm not doing it again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's being willing to give up what your unachievable goals are to encourage people to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it's about. It's encouraging your family to grow in their own giftings or encourage them to be part of something because you're teaching them nothing. If you're not teaching your kids already to do laundry by their 10, you're a mess.
Yeah.
You're SOB, right? SOL. SOL. And same as your husband. Like, if that should be something as part of that funny little premarital contract. Do you do dishes and are you willing to do dishes if
right.
I cook? Or if you cook, I'll do dishes. How about that?
And that's what we have done for years. That's just our MO. And it's so funny because more times than not, I cook. So my husband's doing the dishes. And there's even been times it's like, I feel bad because he has other things he might need to do. And it's such a part of our routine now that he doesn't want to not do the dishes.
Right. Well, it's special quality time together.
You know? Yeah. So it's
I need a new kitchen. Mm-hmm. Right. We just have a little galley kitchen. I need a new kitchen. And I think he's holding back from renovations because then he doesn't have to step in the kitchen with me.
My mother used to refer to her small kitchen. She liked being alone in her kitchen. Now they had the same thing. My father would clean up. She cooked and she liked cooking by herself. So she had a very small kitchen on purpose and she called it the one butt kitchen. There was only room for one butt in here, so get out. But again, my dad did go in and he would clean up the mess afterwards.
That's awesome.
Whether she was baking something or cooking something, that was just, you know, how.
It's so important. You know, it's that ask, right? And whether it's for health or whether it's just for home or responsibilities within the household as well. And honestly, it keeps us humble. Mm-hmm. That whole humbleness of, I can't do it all. Like, this is impossible. So, and that allows your own children to grow. That allows your husband to grow. That being honest and open with your family, right? Which so many of us struggle with.
Yeah. And it makes them better humans when they're older. I remember when they were in their young 22, my two oldest boys are 18 months apart. So when they first moved into the first apartment with some friends, I remember them coming home one day. They were probably coming home to do laundry, but they were doing their laundry. And them saying like, thank you, Mom. Like, I know we complain, but thank you so much for making us learn how to do laundry, learn how to do this. They were flabbergasted at what their friends had no idea how to do.
No idea.
And they were just like, thank you. And now, believe me, my daughter-in-laws all are very grateful that they're all really awesome husbands.
Yeah. And cooking, training our kids up to cook is so important as well. Not only to follow recipes, but to be adventurous as well, because the key survival of bachelorhood or in college or away is cooking.
Right.
Like, you can't live on Mr. Noodles, although my son, as good of a cook that he is, because he actually works in a restaurant, he still only, you know, he'll whip up Mr. Noodles at home.
Yeah.
And I'm just like.
I hear that a lot from people that are married to chefs or have chefs, that they do it for a living. They don't want to do it at home.
They don't want to do it. I get the same excuse about a kitchen renovation. Yeah. So. That's what he does. So he designs and installs. But it's interesting. I find it very interesting in the whole dynamics of growing with children and growing in health and where things go and how now in hindsight for women our age, in hindsight, the things we could have done better mm-hmm. or the lessons that we've learned.
Oh, there's always lessons to be learned. Lessons to be learned and being open to them, mm-hmm. which actually brings me back. I want to go back to that transition you had. So with your sister and, mm-hmm. you know, losing her, and you were in the hospitality world before that. So it was a big transition.
Huge transition. So
talk
in
a
the
little
last
more about that transition and how that felt and how, like, because I think we have to be open, because sometimes mm-hmm. we see these transitions. They're there for most of us because life just changes. Mm-hmm. But we're not always open to letting it unfold in front of us. And it sounds like you were really open to letting things kind of unfold, even though it wasn't a happy time. You just kind of, it sounds like you went with, I don't know, describe it.
So I really, really regretted not being part of that initial process, but perhaps that's just the way God ordained it. So I wasn't part of the meal, you know, the first year of her cancer care, and I didn't make meals. I didn't run her to her chemo appointments. I didn't do those things, right? I just couldn't. I was working full time. And so a lot of that regret comes through. And then when I was part of the, she could do no more after she finished her regular care, and she couldn't do any more chemo. She couldn't do any radiation. That's when I connected her and my really jumped in. So it was networking and finding those people that really was zealous about, and honestly, you know, even the food that they were preparing for the family, right? In all good intentions, you know, the shepherd's pie, the lasagnas, and all those things are no good for someone who has cancer. And honestly, my brother-in-law is lactose, so he suffered huge because of all the cheese. Right. So even now and it was such a blessing, everything, because that's the only way that that community can give. Right. And don't hide your illness. Everyone needs to be involved with it. A community rises up, and that's really, really, really important. But in my transition, that whole aspect of being involved and getting her connected and staying on top of it, and I would bring out my little tools that I've learned about and balance her body and different herbs and tinctures that help her. And I believe that was part of it. And I connected her with a fantastic naturopath in her area as well. But I really felt that I could connect in this way. It's bringing those things that we are passionate about forth in our situations with families to really rise with that. Now, in her final sort of care, when her tumor came back, I travel the third week of every month. That third week, the fourth week, I would go home and spend every single week. I spend a week long with her. I really took advantage of spending time with family. And that was so important. And that's why it was so vitally important for me to build a business online, to stick to my guns with health and prevention and prayer. Mm. Like prayer, help, prevention, any way at all, right? That I would incorporate that aspect of things. So much that even when she was, you know, I was there and part of the hospice, like if you've ever had the opportunity to use a local hospice, please do. Don't be afraid of it. Don't think you're being an inconvenience. Don't think of it as being, I need to die at home. Unless your family's really good with that, don't put them through it. If you have the honor and opportunity to go to a local hospice, it is an incredible and honoring experience to be part of that. And I know in my future that that's something that I will be supporting in my own community here as our local hospice. But, you know, we did all we could do, and we incorporated all the tools that we could do. And that whole spiral out of control, like, what did I miss? How did this happen? What were the signs and symptoms? What else could we do now? And it all really went pretty fast, thank goodness. But that whole being part of prayer and understanding, and even in the hospice, just having God there, mm-hmm. singing songs, mm. praying and laughing and being part of family in that situation, even though it's the worst dire situations that you can be part of. But we were able to enjoy the last days of her life with laughter, with community, with communion, with oh goodness, we even snuck in wine and beer. We had parties, you know, like, because she was pretty lucid after we brought her in, and that she was given steroids. The swelling came down in her brain. She understood, you know, she was pretty lucid through everything, and she understood everything finally. And everyone got to visit with her and it's such. Now, this would not have happened during COVID, that's for sure. Right? So if you have family at home, and if you have, or family in nursing care, or family somewhere, make sure that you're Zooming, make sure that you're connecting, make sure that you're doing your COVID test so that you can go and see them.
Oh, that's great.
Right? Because there's nothing good about being stuck somewhere and not having family. Yeah. Right? Especially during COVID, especially with Thanksgiving coming. It's so important to stay connected with family, even though we have limited restrictions again, and even though we have limited travel, you know, stay safe, you know, and set up Zoom. Do a party Zoom. Do Facebook Live. Do something to connect with your family, connect with your friends, even during a COVID restriction. And I think that's something, lesson that we've learned over the past 8 months, is learning that being alone is not good for our mental health, the importance of community, right? Even the importance of church. Like, our church is blessed. We've got a huge church. So, you know, we're able to get in people and seat people, even with the 2 meter or 6 feet restriction. Right. The thing there for a sec. Now it's 3 meters. So, I mean, we'll have to switch.
We're always going to go to the meter system, but we never did. I remember in school.
Well, we got to catch up with. Yeah, catch up with the rest of the world.
Right.
It's the whole Fahrenheit and Celsius thing. We argue about that all the time. Like, my mother-in-law talks in Fahrenheit and my parents will switch back and forth. I'm like, you know, we live in Canada. We're Celsius like the rest of the world. No, it's always good fun. Always good fun. But it's so important. So if you've got people and you've got, send care packages, send things to the nursing homes, all these poor seniors or people, check on your neighbors, like even still now. Right? People are so fearful about this, but spend time, build community, walk by their house, say hello, drop off some oranges, right? Like, it's so important to connect. If there's not anything out of this whole time of being restricted during this COVID, is the importance of community and the importance of family.
Definitely. Right? Definitely. Oh, so much good stuff, Dana. And I just want to back up a little bit and just say, the experience you had with your sister was so, we went through that with my mom. And I totally agree when you're talking about hospice and spend, it's a hard time and it's a very sad time, but it can also, you can find those little joyful moments. And I remember sitting in my mom's, we did have her at home through, because of hospice, we were able to have her in her own, she was in her own bed. And my aunts came from Louisiana, my old Cajun aunts, my dad's side. There, in came the army, you know, the army of the aunts, and sitting around her bedside. And, you know, when she was sleeping, they would tell me like hysterical stories, these three old aunts, of things they did growing up and my dad. And, you know, it was just, there's so many. And unless you've gone through that, you don't understand when I say this, but there's so many fond memories
of that time,
of that season.
Isn't that interesting? Like, even though, like, my parents are probably like your mom, no, we don't need to celebrate a birthday. I'm not important. Right. And, but you don't, I mean, this is the time when you do these celebrations of life at 70 and at 75 so that you can tell these fantastic, these hilarious stories, and tell these great memories and build this tradition and memory and laugh out of joy and not wait till a funeral. Like, right. And funerals now are, I mean, who knows what birthdays will be like now anyway.
Right.
But it's like, like, my parents don't even want to have a funeral. They don't want to have any celebration. And I'm like, you're worth it. I don't get it. Why are these people not doing this? Because they think because I think a lot of people associate so much anguish and turmoil with funerals. And I've experienced that myself, where families just are so angry and bitter because they aren't communicating to one another. They're holding bitterness and unforgiveness against each other. And then it all comes out at the death.
Right. Right. So much. So, which is a good segue. I mean, we could talk so much longer about all these subjects, so much good stuff. But that leads me, let's wrap this up, Dana, with sitting the around importance. The table. The important thing, because it starts there so that the miscommunication doesn't happen down the road.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about
I remember building this business. I've gone through some transitional names like, you know, like Divine Wellness, Farmer's Daughter, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, now Wise Divine Woman type of idea. But my main goal when I initially started this thought process, this business, this aspiration that I had about it was really to get families back to the table. It's so important. I mean, you were running kids around from hockey, three kids to different types of hockeys, to dance, to school activities, to all of these things, and never spending time at the table. So the table always became this homework or this timeout, or, you know, you'd never spoke, you just hurry up and quick ate, and off you went running again. We've lost the value of sitting at the table with family. And these are things you need to instill again with your grandchildren or with your children, and understand the importance of coming to the table. Now, for your health, it's important to come to the table because you need to slow down. You know, all of these new issues of bloating and digestion and leaky gut and all this crazy stuff that's going on. No one's slowing down to eat. No one's slowing down to chew their food. No one's processing life. Even though COVID has forced us, it's like a silver lining little thing, to slow down, but we are internalizing all of this stress. So, you know, people need to take up kickboxing or do Tai Chi or do yoga or do breath work or do breathing. But when it's coming to the table, and this is why we've kind of lost this, and why probably our parents, our grandparents lived to 80 and 90 or 100, right? Because they sat at the table. That's where they communicated their day. That's where they shared laughter or anger, but at least it was spoken. You're okay to be angry at your mom and dad, or you're okay to be angry at your children, but it has to be a thought process. It has to be spoken. It has to be resolved. There has to be a beginning and an end. And coming to the table and sharing time with family not only builds family unity, family tradition, but faith in the family. In the eating process, incorporating prayer before you eat is not only to be reverence to God, all that stuff, but you are pulling yourself out of fight or flight. You are pulling yourself out of this crazy mayhem. I have no idea. I just need to eat and go, because you just think you need to eat. But you've got to pull yourself out of that. You're not running from the bear. You have to pause. You have to breathe. You need to pray. And you need to get yourself into a parasympathetic motion. Parasympathetic is like, I need to relax. I need to stop. I need to chew my food. And oh my gosh, I actually digested and I'm not bloating anymore, right? My stomach is not rock hard, because you have stopped, you breathe, and you meditate or pray for a moment, give thanks, and give thanks to the people that you're so blessed to be around, even though you may not be thinking so. This comes back to the point of coming to the table in communion. You know, Jesus did his communion thing, and I don't think it was that time. I bet you he probably did it every single time. It's just that they noted it at this moment. Communion is not something you just do on once a month at church or only on Sundays. Communion is a time to spend with your family, where you're sharing food and you're sharing drink in thankfulness. And so if you are sitting there in anger, then please don't eat. Work through that anger, apologize, or give forgiveness, even away from the table or at a different time. But you've got to come to the table in unforgiveness and in not in bitterness, or you will suffer the consequences of heartburn and indigestion and bloat and acid reflux and all the crazy that happens along with emotional eating. And that's the importance of coming back to the table. And that was my original thought and whole plan when I started this whole journey, of the importance of coming back to communion, simplifying it, and making that joy of the table and bringing family back together. So this Thanksgiving season, pause and reflect of who you're going to be blessed with at your table, because you're limited be thankful and let them know, give thanks, give praise, give honor in some simple way to the people that you are just so blessed to be with. Give thanks and honor to those you invite through Zoom or through Facebook Live or through on a phone call, right? Because we're on a very difficult journey right now and we need to find joy in all we do. We need to really lighten that load of that external stress that you guys have just been so bombarded with in the last month and a half, and really understand the joy and the pleasure of meeting with people at the table and the savory excitement of food.
That's so beautiful. So beautiful. And turn off the news while you eat.
And please turn off the news, folks. I can't imagine.
Tell me while you're eating. Yeah.
I don't even watch the news. We don't have a TV in the house. So it's just one of those things I've never had. I mean, we have our internet. We watch Netflix, whatever, those types of things. But to be perfectly honest, even with the kids, I was just one of those crazy moms that we didn't have a TV in the house. They already watched enough darn movies and VHS and all that kind of stuff anyways, but I just don't like the news. I don't know. I know one side, then the other side. You don't know what's right or wrong. And it's just this internalizing stress. And so you guys with this whole election and COVID and conspiracy and the crazy.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Everybody's having heartburn.
Everybody's not sleeping. Everybody's not being heartburn.
Yeah. So we want to enjoy that. You know, I always say life is short, enjoy the journey. And I think as we're reflecting on what's every day, every meal.
Every day, every meal.
Eat on the good china. That was something I learned from my mom.
Oh my gosh.
Save the good china. Eat on the good china.
Use the china.
Use the china. Yes, use the china.
Use the china. Yeah. Don't wait till your grandma gives you your china still wrapped in cellophane, in saran wrap. Right.
What's get the point?
Use it. Just use it. Yeah. Like, I don't get that.
And enjoy it. If it breaks, oh well, it was a dish, but you enjoyed it. So, So, Dana, thank you so much. And this is such a timely message, again, leading up to our American Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
such
a blessing.
But truly, it's not just about the big Thanksgiving meal. It's every meal should be something to savor and enjoy. And I know you do so much more that we really didn't even get into. So I will be sharing the links to how you can find Dana. You've got to check out all of the things she does, including her famous one. Dana, tell them what it is.
The Touch Your Tatas. I just really want women to touch themselves. But honestly, even to get to allow their husbands to touch themselves. Do you know how many women don't even let their husbands touch their breasts? It's crazy. Crazy talk.
So she will guide you through everything. Nutrition-wise, hormone-wise, all those things, especially as we get a little more mature. She does so many great things, and she's just a joy to talk to. So thank you, Dana, for being our guest today and blessing us with your presence, and I truly appreciate you.
It's my pleasure, Sherry. Thank you so much.
Hey, friends, real quick before you go, if you found value in today's episode, can you do me a huge favor? Hit the subscribe button and leave a review. And then let's connect on Instagram. Just look for Sherry Miter. Feel free to DM me and let me know what you enjoyed most about today's show. And last, but probably the most important, head over to my website at unchartedentrepreneurs.com to schedule your free discovery call. Or if you know you need a business coach to help you work on some new strategies to scale your business, then I'd invite you to grab a vision strategy session in 90 minutes. You'll have a clearer vision and action steps to get you headed in the right direction. Mention this podcast to receive a discount on your first session.